This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Here we go.
There's the drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah.
Let's go for a little ride.
All right, it is Friday, everybody. Good morning. It is The Drive. Lante, Derek Piper, Hans D is in. Trevor Valise not here today. We're going to talk some Cardinals baseball, so Trevor probably stayed away for that reason. Kevin Wheeler is going to join us at 4:30. I had texted him yesterday and said, hey, we're going to need you. And he's like, I'm ready, man, just whenever. So 4:30 today, Kevin Wheeler to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals and the trade they made with the Tampa Rays. And does it mean something else? I'm going to read you a great Twitter it's almost like a novel that Kevin Wheeler had that talks about why it won't happen with Colorado and Arenado, but he certainly doesn't, you know, he's like, hey, I don't know for sure, but here's part of the reasons why I don't think it'll happen. I think basically you try to calm your excitement about the fact of getting Arenado, but yet you see some national writers. I think one national writer said it seems inevitable. I'm like, whoa, that's a big word to use. Unless you know something, you wouldn't use that word, because to me, inevitable means it's going to happen. And I would think, Derek, on my end, on our end, as Cardinals fans, at this point, I'm still trying to think, I'm going to try to act like it's not going to happen. And then if it does, it'll be like Christmas again.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the inevitable part you want is adding another bat, whether that's going to be bring back Marcell Ozuna or go out and get Nolan Arenado or find some other way to do it. Because I think there's no doubt that the Cardinals need somebody else in the middle of that order. Of course, the idea yesterday on the radio as it was happening live was pretty good to me, pretty good to you.
Yes.
To have this be another chip along with Nolan Gorman, who they're friends. They're both top 50 prospects to go to Colorado for Nolan Arenado. I'm cool with that. I'm also cool with having a stud lefty pitcher in your farm system and potentially at the top of your rotation with Jack Flaherty one day.
Well, and I agree with that, because if you search down the road, and this is a kid that is best friends with Nolan Gorman, who we think in 2 years, let's say, or three at the latest, will be your starting third baseman, and hopefully for a while, for the next 6 to 8 years. And then maybe at that point, you've got a young man who's best friends with Nolan Gorman that would be 1-2 with Jack Flaherty in that pitching order. And you stare down, you know, 2-3 years, you've got Miles Michaelis who'll be coming to into an end of a deal. Maybe by then Alex Reyes will be good and or healthy.
You can only hope on that one. Inevitable there.
No. Jack Flaherty, you're going to have to pony up some major cash for one day.
Dakota Hudson. Very much in that mix.
So, and they've got some young kids still in the minors. The one thing the Cardinals have always been able to do is produce good pitching out of the minors. And that's something that I know even when Theo Epstein started as the GM of the Cubs, and of course got the Cubs a World Series, did some wonderful things there, and now they're kind of in kind of a weird little stage right now with that team and trying to figure out what to do. But I know Theo said, look, the Cardinals are a team we kind of look at and say, this is what we want to do. We want to model what they do with regards to drafting and such. But St. Louis has always been a team, it seems like, with pitching has leaned more to the college pitcher, not necessarily the high school kid coming out. But a lot of times, Derek, that lends itself to where the Cardinals usually draft. They're usually drafting near the end of the first round. So a lot of times those stud high school guys are gone. And so they're kind of in the, you know, maybe option 1B, and that is a kid out of college that they like and that they see, and they like his stuff. So we'll see. But certainly, if nothing else happens in this trade, you have added a lefty starter that the Cardinals haven't had since Jaime Garcia, essentially. I know that Austin Gomber is a kid that they're looking at, hopefully, to become that. But they have not had a legitimate, solid left-hander in a long time. I mean, maybe Mark Mulder.
Yeah, I was going to say the last, what, decade and a
half?
That's
crazy, isn't it?
Maybe 2 decades, Mark Mulder and Jaime Garcia.
Mark Mulder got the first win at the new Busch Stadium now. I was there. He got the first win. And Bill Hall hit the first home run for Milwaukee. First home run ever. I think Mark Mulder doubled that game, too. So he had the first hit for a pitcher and the first win. But really, when you look at that, I mean, Jaime Garcia had some good seasons, but certainly he was never a dominant lefty. And no idea if Libertor will be a dominant, but he's certainly a kid that they look on highly. What else happened in this trade for the Cardinals and Rays?
So I said on the radio, I had a good sense apparently about it. Jose Martinez is involved going to the Rays.
And you did. You nailed that.
Just been waiting for him to go to an AL team. Has a lot of value as a DH. Someone that can clearly has in the past hit above 300, doubles hitter. Tommy Pham went to Tampa and hit fantastically, so if he goes down there and produces, I'm not going to be surprised.
Right.
Randy Arozarena is also involved in it. And some Cardinals fans don't like the fact that he's someone that has speed.
Yeah.
He's hit pretty well in the minor league level. Never really got a full-time chance in St. Louis, but he was part of a very crowded outfield, and that's where the Cardinals have a surplus, and he's going to Tampa as well, and then a first-round pick, right?
Yeah, the compensatory pick, which is pretty high, which is the pick right after the first round. So the Cardinals have that compensatory pick after the first round. They give that up. They get, and that's considered an A pick. So the Cardinals give that up. They get a B pick, meaning they get a pick from Tampa, but that'll be after the second round. So that's that's almost 70 guys deep. So certainly those are valued picks, those compensatory picks, and we've seen it in the past, and it's kind of the reason that, you know, like with Marcell Ozuna, for instance, you offer him the contract knowing that if somebody signs him for more than what you have offered, then all of a sudden the Cardinals get that compensatory pick. And then I think it ends after a certain day. That goes away. And that's why you see guys like Dallas Keuchel last year, who waited until basically halfway through the season before the Atlanta Braves took him.
Kimbrel, too.
Yep, Kimbrel. Because by then, that pick falls off. So in other words, you don't have to give up a pick to get a guy like Kimbrel or Keuchel or Ozuna. So that's kind of where this is at. So the Cardinals, believe me, they gave up some stuff to get this. And, you know, Arozarena, it's been interesting to me. I just bragged about the Cardinals and how they've drafted. The one thing that is interesting to me is how they have all these outfielders, Grichuk, Piscotty. Now, I don't include Piscotty in that because the Cardinals made the right decision there with his mom basically dying, and I think she's passed away now from ALS, and they decided to, you know, make the human thing, right? They traded him to the West Coast so he could be closer to his mom, and I thought that was a wonderful thing the Cardinals did. But when you add a Grichuk, and you've got an O'Neill and a Bader and a Carlson and on, right,
Colby Rasmus in there, too?
Well, yeah. Although he was involved in a trade that got you a World Series, right? Was Mark Zepchinski coming over?
Octavio Dotel?
Yes. Oh my! And then who's the guy that my favorite guy that's got a man cave, unlike any other they got in that deal too. He's the guy.
Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, Edwin Jackson, who's been on every team in Major League Baseball. I think that all stemmed from that trade with Colby Rasmus, but he just never jived in that locker room really with everybody. It seemed like he had the offensive ability and the ability to do it athletically, but now you've got all this glutton of, you know, Lane Thomas is in there. You had Oscar Mercado, who you traded away to Cleveland.
For nothing.
So you've got all these outfielders in there, and yet they've settled essentially on Harrison Bader in center. So I think my one beef with that would be if Arozarena goes down to Tampa and becomes a commodity, then you sit there and think, all right, well, you guys strategized and determined that Harrison Bader is a better option every day than Randy Arozarena. So we'll see. I mean, that's to be determined, but I think they like Bader, and maybe it's a situation where maybe Tampa doesn't like Bader. Maybe they said, well, we'll take Arozarena off your hands and we'll try to make it happen. So that's interesting. All right, Kevin Wheeler tweeted out some good stuff today. Do you mind if I read this? It's a lot of stuff. I don't think Kevin would mind. And by the way, again, he's going to join us at 4:30 today. We will talk plenty of Illinois-Rutgers. Get you ready for that game tomorrow at 11 a.m. You know, this is a game I don't think anybody's sleeping on. I think more than anything, it's me. I'm the one that just is scuffing this off saying it's Rutgers.
It's a big game.
It is a big game.
Rutgers has won six in a row.
That's right.
They're right now, they'd be a quad one win for Illinois.
Wow. And you've got a chance to go 4-2 with Northwestern coming to town.
You also have a chance to start 3-0 in Big Ten home games, first time since 2011-12.
Wow. Another stat to update.
Exactly.
And I got to quit saying it, Derek, but that Maryland game. Somebody came in my office today and it's like, Lon, if you beat Maryland, you're 4-1 right now in the Big Ten. You're 4-1 looking at 6-1 and basically a half game behind Michigan State, who won again last night. They beat Minnesota 74-58 at home. Michigan State's, they're playing well, but again, 4 out of 5 at home. So, you know, it's one of those where eventually they're going to have to get on the road and start playing some games. All right, we're going to talk a lot about Illinois and Rutgers. We'll do who you got. We're going to do, we're going to have a drink today because we're going to celebrate Lon leaving. Well, you and I aren't literally going to have a drink. I got to coach a basketball game tonight on top of everything, but we're going to celebrate.
Oh, back to back. You had one last
week. Yeah. Yeah. And 3 again next week. So 6 games in a matter of 2 weeks. It's the dog days of the season is what we're in right now. It's like July in baseball. All right. So here's Kevin Wheeler. He says, okay, let's talk about how this Arenado stuff, I know the hot stove talk is exciting, but let's take a serious look at this. 2 notes. I would be very much in favor of acquiring Arenado, but number 2, I do not think it's going to happen. Sure, the Cardinals and Rockies appear to match up on a deal. Cards have prospects and young major leaguers that would suit Colorado's needs. For example, Andrew Kinsner would fit a big need in the Colorado system because Colorado and their top 30 prospects, you probably read the same thing or heard the same thing, they do not have a catcher among their top 30 prospects. So a guy like Kinsner, who was here on the Caravan a couple of years ago, would be a kid that maybe Colorado would say, hey, we'll take him and hopefully get him in our system. Wouldn't that be weird if you would have gotten rid of Kinsner and you would have gotten rid of the kid that went to Arizona in the trade for
Goldie. Well, if you bring back Goldie and Arenado, I think
I'm fine with it.
Fine with that.
We'll go find a catcher. Then he says the Cardinals, after adding Libertor, certainly have pitching prospects, whether it's him or not, and they have other attractive pieces like Gorman, Thompson, etc. Guys from MLB roster like Hudson and Helsley would make sense as well, and he says, FYI, I don't see Carlson going anywhere. But the Rockies would be trading their most popular player and would want, I assume, a package built around the assumption that he's not opting out in 2 years. I would also assume the Cardinals would want the package to reflect the possibility that he could opt out. So we'll explain that real quick. In Arenado's 8-year deal, in 2 years, he can opt out of this deal. Now, he's making such big money in that contract, Derek, I don't think he would opt out after 2 years.
Probably not, but I don't know.
But if he goes helter-skelter for 2 years.
40-some, 50-some, I mean, he's already hitting 40-some bombs.
Right.
But if he plays at a ridiculous level and wants more money, he definitely could command it.
He could do it. So, in other words, the Cardinals are sitting there going, hey, we need to watch out. We're going to give up a lot for a guy we may only have for 2 years. Okay, he goes on. Arenado has a full no-trade clause. This is an important thing here, no-trade clause. It's going to come up later in this. So he would have to approve the deal. I'm not saying he wouldn't. I'm just saying it's under his control. He'll decide. Plus, there are reportedly other teams interested. We don't know the answers to this. He might want to be the Cardinals' third baseman for all we know. It's an unknown right now, a variable to consider. Now get to the money. Adding Arenado would be without shedding money would take the Cardinals over $200 million in 2020. Now, I believe they can afford it, but they've already made comments, and they have already, about not adding too much to the payroll based on where they are now, so they'd have to dump money. The only deals that fit are Fowler and Carpenter, and both have full no trade clauses. So again, that comes back up, and that's important. He moves on. This is halfway through this. Fowler and Carp would have to approve any deal. I know Fowler came up with Colorado, but he's on a contender now. Does he want to play out the string with a team rebuilding that currently has corner outfield covered with Dahl and Blackman? Colorado could turn around and try to move Blackman, but they've reportedly been open to doing this for a while, and they haven't done it. Back to the no trades. Carp has one, too. Does he want to leave the only organization he's known at age 34 and leave a contender for a retooling team that has to deal with the Dodgers every year? So we're back to the Cards most likely needing to add all the money unless we're going to go down that rabbit hole and start coming up with more trades to send Carpenter or Fowler to places they'd like to go and whether or not those teams would want them to take the money. Guys, stuff like this has many moving parts, and it isn't likely when it does. I'm not saying it can't, won't, or shouldn't. I'm saying it's extremely unlikely. The Cards aren't pushing payroll over $200 million, in my opinion. He's almost done. Plus, with Arenado and Goldie at $61 million for the next 5 years, you're running into serious questions about how you'll be able to keep Jack Flaherty or pay him what he's able to command in a few years. Sure, other deals will come off, but he's a top-10 starter. We just saw how much guys like that go for. If he stays healthy, he's going to get a mega deal somewhere. You'd like it to be in St. Louis. I can find scenarios that would land Arenado here, but they're all complicated and multi-layered. If they wanted an elite third baseman at big money, they could have just paid Rendon. And that's true. They didn't get into that. And they could be bidding on Donaldson, but they're not. So that's it. That's basically what he said. And a lot of that basically just sits there and you go, oh, thanks, Kevin. You just ruined the Arenado. Yeah. But it makes a lot of sense. There's the money part that the Cardinals have always said, already said they don't want to add payroll. And really, let's be honest. I mean, I know everybody rips on Mazalak, and he has tied up Fowler, and he's tied up Brett Cecil, and guys like that, and Carpenter getting an extension when he really didn't need it. I mean, that much of an extension. But he's handcuffed his own self. But, you know, I do give Mazalak credit. He's always at least trying to find ways. But it comes back down to the no-trade clause. Pipes, if Fowler and Carpenter like the situation they're in right now, and they say, no, we're not doing it, then guess what? You're not doing it.
True. That's an interesting point, though, and that would be my counter is Carpenter. Can Matt Carpenter like the situation he's in right now where he's not playing at first base? He's not obviously a second baseman anymore, and at third base it's going to be him and Tommy Edman, and it's clear that towards the end of last year, the second half, or even the last couple of months, he was not an everyday player.
No, and when you get Arenado, he's definitely not playing third.
Exactly.
So what are you doing? You putting him in the outfield, or are you just batting him off the bench? And, you know, we all sit here. We all say we'd love to be the backup quarterback in the NFL making $12 million a year and not doing anything. That'd be great. Go to work, carry around a clipboard, throw in a couple signs. Hey, all of a sudden, hey, he might be hurt. Oh, no, he's good. I mean, we all
say. Yeah, but you can only play for so long,
yeah, right?
And a year and a half ago, Matt Carpenter was the hottest hitter. Was it
absolutely
a year and a half? Hottest hitter in baseball?
Yeah. And he wants to play, and that's kind of what I was getting at. Sure, Carp could sit and have an easy 2 years just sitting on the bench and hitting every once in a while, but he's got pride. He wants to play. So I'm with you. I mean, that's a great point. Maybe Carpenter would say, you know what, get me out of here. Get me to Colorado. And look at it this way. If he's looking for another contract, a final contract to his career, if you go to Colorado and bash in that altitude, then maybe all of a sudden at age 36 – Carp gets done with his 39 million dollar deal and says to himself, hey, you know what? I could be a guy for one or two more years. You know, kind of like Hunter Pence, who's just kind of survived in baseball with team after team because he adds value to a team. That could be a guy like Matt Carpenter. So, you know what? You bring up a valid point. I mean, Carpenter could be one that says, hey, you know what? If that's offered, I'd be in for it.
Yeah, if it comes down to him,
yeah.
I just think that the opportunity maybe is good for him in Colorado.
And then you look at Fowler on the other hand, and he has to be sitting there thinking, all right, look, I know I'm not that great. I had a little bit better season last year, but I'm a veteran on a team that needs help in the outfield. Yeah, they've got a lot of kids coming up, but are any of them better than me? They haven't proven it. And so far, they haven't.
It's true.
I mean, Harrison Bader hasn't proven to be better than Dexter Fowler.
O'Neill has not.
O'Neill has definitely not. He strikes out. I don't like O'Neill. Is that bad? Gave up Marco Gonzalez for him, who's had a pretty good career.
I had hope for him. Just he's had a ton of chances to prove consistent. He has not done so.
He's been hurt a little bit, and he strikes out a lot. That's why, as an athlete, I was never muscular. I never got hurt. That's why I did that. That's why I look like I look, Derek. It's just because I don't want to get hurt on an everyday basis. Yeah. So a lot of moving parts to this and a lot of cool stuff. And then, you know, I mean, so you look at it in two ways. You look at it, okay, if this trade is just made and you don't even know Arenado's available, if he even is, how do you look at the trade? And then you look at it, okay, now is Arenado available? So I want to ask Kevin Wheeler those two things when we come back and talk to Kevin about that. I also want to ask him what he thinks the role for Carlos Martinez will be this year with St. Louis. All right, we've got Alan Griffin audio, I think we're going to play a little bit later.
Yeah, Jeremy Warner got an interview with him. We are actually the first ones to get to air that. So thanks to Jeremy for sending that our way.
Well, that's nice of Jeremy. He knows that we need as much help as possible. He's like, I'm going to help. Nah, you're right. No, he just
likes us.
Just a good dude, man. So that's cool. True. He had a one-on-one with, I think it was a one-on-one, right? with yes. Alan Griffin. So we'll hear that at 5:05. I cannot wait to hear that.
His high school coach was also on Jeremy's show this morning. If you missed it, you can podcast that.
Oh, sweet. I did not know that. All right, we'll do Who You Got next hour. Lot to talk about, especially more about Rutgers and Illinois. We'll kind of get to know this Rutgers team and who do we have to be afraid of and what are they going to bring to Champaign tomorrow. They might likely be in town right now.
For 11 a.m., yeah, they should be.
Let's talk smack about Rutgers before this is over. Lot to do. If you want to weigh in, you can always weigh in, 359-2255. I haven't even brought that up. I assume there's been a lot of tweets probably or texts coming in about baseball because people love baseball. 359-2255. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you just go to at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TaneandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at ESPNCU.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube. Can you?
No, not yet.
Not quite yet.
Not yet.
But if you can, Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
We got a ton of questions or a ton of thoughts about baseball. I love Central Illinois. Our listeners love baseball, and so do you and I. It's going to be a happy marriage. It's going to be a happy marriage when baseball rolls around here on The Drive. All right, when we come back, more baseball. Kevin Wheeler, we'll visit with him about this Cardinals situation, this trade that happened yesterday, and what it means now, what it can mean in the future with Arenado. We'll do it next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Like many, I knew all about Game Day Spirits Illini gear, but I wasn't so knowledgeable about the corporate apparel they do. But they do really great work. I've had some shirts done, and some of my employees have too. They're very high quality and perfect for your business or organization. If you need something in the summer, need something in the winter, Game Day Spirit does custom screen printing and embroidery for every season or style. From blue collar to the boardroom, they have you covered with corporate apparel. Get a quote. Email sales@gamedayspirit.com. And you'll be pleased.
I'm Troy Lanz. At Lanz Inc., we have expanded our services to meet your comfort needs. We now provide heating and cooling, plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. With our 8-8 same great rate, 24/7 emergency service, and comfort club maintenance plans, you can count on Lanz to keep you and your home comfortable any season, anytime. Call or find us online at LanzInc.com. I'm Troy Lanz, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Hi, I'm Damon Hackleman, owner of CleanRide in Champaign. If you're looking for a trusted restoration service company, just look for the guys in the blue trucks. At CleanRide, we understand that life happens, and we're ready to help. Our experienced service technicians will provide you with not only a quick response, but also honest answers and advice. For water, fire, smoke, or mold restoration, we're there when you need us. Call CleanRide today at 351-4930. That's 351-4930. Or just Google CleanRide Champaign.
Why do so many go to Honda BMW of Champaign? Is it the selection of hundreds of new and pre-owned vehicles? The easy location off Neal at Burwash Savoy? Or the fact that they're an award-winning dealership getting incredible reviews year after year from their customers? Yes, it's all of the above. Before you buy your next vehicle, give Honda BMW of Champaign a chance to earn your business. Honda BMW off Neal at Burwash Savoy, or go online, drivechampagne.com.
There are good ideas and there are better ideas. Renting a truck, asking your friends to help you move, and buying a bunch of pizzas to feed them after they're all worn out might be a good idea, but a better idea is to hire Two Men in a Truck and let them take the stress out of your move. Two Men in a Truck will only send professional movers and no day labor. There's better ways to spend time with your friends. Contact the movers who care and save your friendships. TwoMenChampagne.com. That's a smart move.
Hey everybody, it's Jay Layman, former Fighting Illini linebacker, All-American. When I moved back to town last year, I needed brand new appliances for my renovated kitchen and looked no further than Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Unprecedented products, unrivaled service. I love their protection plan, and so will you. Visit them at appliance-world.com or at their physical location on Neal Street by Interstate 74.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve District offers lots of great winter fun. Their educational programs will teach you about owls, how to make maple syrup, woodcocks, and more. Outside offers sledding at Homer Lake, cross-country skiing, trail hikes, and ice fishing. On clear nights, head to Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in Penfield to check out the stars. You'll be amazed with views at Illinois' first international dark sky park. Go to ccfpd.org to see all they have to offer for you to get closer to nature this winter.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Derek Piper, Hans D in as well, making all the calls. Kevin Wheeler doesn't even realize how lucky he is. He got to talk to Hans D, a professional pilot to be. Somebody did text in and said it's a competitive balance pick, not compensatory. Thank you. That was my fault. I said compensatory. So I appreciate you keeping me in line like you listeners do, and I appreciate that always. All right, 359-2255. Got a lot of texts about this because whenever we bring up baseball, people respond, and I love it. And so we're going to read some of those maybe after we visit with Kevin Wheeler. We'll talk about that. We've got one from a bit of a salty Cubs fan that we'll get to as we go along. So right now, though, let's welcome in the man, Kevin Wheeler. Follow him on Twitter, at KevinWheeler94. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. By the way, is there any other kind of Cubs fan than a salty Cubs fan right now?
No, not at all.
And by the way, they're not wrong to be salty. This whole thing, like, we don't have any money. We got to dig between the couch cushions for pennies is a joke.
It is. I totally agree. They did sign Chris Bryant today, and I think Baez, right? To a to 1 year deal.
Avoided arbitration.
Okay. Yeah. So we get that, but it is funny. Kevin, I just read your monologue on Twitter to everybody, all of our listeners, but it was great stuff. It was everything I wanted to talk about, and you nailed it. So here's how I want to approach the interview with you today. Let's say at the start that we don't even know Arenado is out there. So Arenado, I just want to ask you, as we go along, just about this trade that happened yesterday with Arozarena moving on, Jose Martinez moving on. You get a kid like Libertor. I still don't know if I'm saying it right. Who's a big high prospect. So without even thinking about the guy in Colorado, what did you think of that trade for the Cardinals?
I think it's great. I mean, look, you traded from an area of depth and got a premium starting pitcher out of it. I mean, you know, when you look at the outfield picture, this is not to say anything about Jose Martinez and his ability or Randy A. I mean, you know I'm a big Randy A fan. I mean, we created our own song for him back in this summer. So, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of the guy. He's a really good player. But they have a lot of really good outfielders, right? I mean, you know, aside from just the guys that we've seen, right? We've seen O'Neill and Bader, and we obviously know Fowler. We've seen Lane Thomas a little. He's pretty good. But we also know that Dylan Carlson's coming, that they have the left-handed hitting Justin Williams, who's also at the AAA level. So basically, right-handed hitting outfielders is where they have depth. And by the way, they also have depth in terms of that big right-handed pinch hitter off the bench late, because they have Ronel Ravelo, who probably, something I think my friend Derek Gould pointed out earlier on Twitter, that, you know, maybe he's probably the new Jose Martinez, you know, the big right-handed bat pinch hitter for the end of games. So they have all of that covered. They're not really going to need those two players, and yet they turn that into the 41st best prospect in baseball, the fourth best left-handed pitching prospect, the guy that now ranks third in their entire system, according to MLB Pipeline. So, yeah, I think it's a smart trade. And sure, it frees you up to do some other things in terms of making trades, whether it's, you know, this offseason or in-season or whatever, because having a deeper farm system always does that. But I don't think they made this move with the idea that they're just going to flip Matthew Liberatore to someone else.
Kevin, what do you know about Liberatore other than, you know, obviously highly ranked, 20 years old? Might not see him for a couple of years at the major league level, but what does he bring from a skill set-wise perspective that you've kind of dug into and seen?
So the reports on him are basically that he's just good at everything. That, you know, he's not the hardest thrower, right? He's not a guy that's up there pushing 100. But he can reach the mid-90s. He probably pitches a little lower than that based on the reports I saw. But he's also still young. I mean, he's 20 years old. He's 6'5 or 6'6. So they list him at 205 pounds or something like that. I mean, if he gets to 225, 230, he may add a tick or two on the fastball. But really, that's not what matters. He's got an above-average curveball. That's kind of his best pitch. But every pitch he throws, according to MLB Pipeline, is above average. So he's got an above-average fastball, slider, and changeup to go with an excellent curveball. He's a big kid. Obviously, the Rays took it easy with him last year. They started him in extended spring training and didn't want to push his innings total. They had planned on him throwing about 115 innings. He only got to, I think, 95, 96 because he had a minor back injury at the end of last year. They shut him down in August. So he was pretty much on the plan that the Braves had laid out for him. And what you're getting is a guy that's got a lot of polish, you know, good delivery and all that. He's young. I wouldn't expect to see him for sure in 2020, maybe the latter 2021. But really, it's the guy you're looking at a couple of years down the road, most likely.
Lon and I were talking about in the first segment, it's a lefty, and you haven't really had one of those last decade and a half. What is it, Jaime Garcia and Mark Mulder?
That's it.
Do we make too much out of that? Is that like Lon wanting shooters from Indiana? It doesn't really matter where they come from. Or is there something to the fact that maybe a lefty in the rotation would be nice to have one day?
I mean, it's not a be-all, end-all, right? I mean, I'll take five good right-handed pitchers as opposed to four good righties and just a guy that's a lefty. But good lefties are definitely helpful. I mean, you know, you look at, and I know this changes a good bit over time, right? But look at what they've had in their own division in recent years. You know, obviously Joey Votto in Cincinnati and Rizzo in Chicago. And, you know, you get, what's his name in Milwaukee, Christian Yelich, what's his name? The guy that just destroys your franchise. You know, you want to have as much of that balance as you can. And it's not, again, it's not something you just set out to get, right? Like, we need a lefty. But if you have one who's good, it's definitely an asset. Because one thing that's, you know, that teams like is starting rotation where each pitcher's a little different so that the opposing team doesn't get into a groove from one day to the next, right? So if you got three guys that are basically the same in a row, well, by game two or three, the hitters can get into a bit of a rhythm on those pitches and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Now, if they all throw, like, Jack Flaherty, it won't make a damn bit of difference, right? And if they're all that good, it doesn't matter. But most pitchers are not all that good. So, yeah, I think that it's a helpful thing. It's not a must, though.
Talking Cardinals baseball with Kevin Wheeler, at Kevin Wheeler 94. Kevin, you mentioned to me today that you were able to talk to Livertor and also Nolan Gorman, and they're best friends, right, growing up. There's a cool thing on Twitter where, and I know you've seen it, but there's a cool thing where Gorman has his back to Livertor, and he's only like 5 feet away, and he spins around as Livertor throws the ball as hard as he can, and Gorman just snatches it like a little ping pong ball or something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you had a chance to visit with those guys today, right? And I would assume that they're on cloud nine, getting back together as buddies.
They are. I talked to them separately. So the interviews that we did, they're going to be for Sunday morning on MLB Network Radio.
Awesome.
I'll be filling in on their minors and majors show. So. You guys get the little bit of the secret that's pre-recorded. Because you know those guys out in Arizona would get up at 5 a.m.
Right.
Pacific time to come on and talk to me.
Not.
But yeah, right, exactly. And especially 19 and 20-year-olds, are you kidding me? maybe have a chance if the interview was at noon.
Right.
In talking to both of them, and I did talk to them separately, Livertor is a little bit under the weather, a bit of a sore throat, so we kind of went easy on him and didn't make him tell too many stories. But Nolan Gorman told that story really well. He said they were just kind of clowning around, trying some things. And that was legit, by the way. That, it's what you call a smush ball, right? It's kind of like a like that. It's squishy. And they were playing around trying to do it with him facing him, and it was working once in a while and not. And then they decided to try it with the spin, and they got that on the second try.
Ugh.
So you're looking at Livertor. I don't know. He wasn't throwing full speed, but he threw that smush ball probably 75, 80 miles an hour from about 15 feet across the room. And Nolan Gorman, spinning around, catches the ball.
Mm.
And if you believe Nolan, it's the second take. It only took two tries for them to get that. But, yeah, this is the point. It's like they're buddies. They hang out. They've known each other, I think, since they were 5 years old. They played against each other in high school. You know, they've worked out together over the years. And, you know, I think, and Livertor told me the first person he called after he got the news, of course, aside from his family, was Nolan Gorman. So,
awesome.
Needless to say, the two of them are pretty excited about that.
Kevin, since you talked to Gorman, and before we get to that Nolan Arenado guy, because I don't want to forget about that before we let you go on this. Since you talked to Nolan Gorman, we hear all the time about Carlson and Gorman when we're out in public, or if I'm talking baseball with my buddies, we're always talking about, man, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. What do you think of Gorman? Is it a deal where if everything would work out and Carp does this two-year stint here, or Tommy Edman, who, by the way, is coming to the Cardinals caravan, excited to talk to him, and so is Nolan Gorman, actually. They'll be in Champaign a week from today. What does Gorman bring to the table, you think? I know he had a really good first year. He kind of stepped back a little bit last season, but is he still progressing to where he'll be your everyday third baseman maybe in a couple of years?
The only way that I don't think he'll be there is if he's not at third. Like, he could be a left fielder, he could be a first baseman. It sounds like third base is working out okay, though. I mean, you know, it's not like he's a disaster over there. He's got some stuff to work on. As far as his numbers and stuff this year, and I talked to him about it, because, look, the first half of the year, his power numbers were pretty good. He was playing in the Midwest League. But he didn't hit for much power once he got to the Florida State League, and that's because nobody does. You know, that's it. Just bottom line is the Florida State League ruins your power. They're big league size ballparks. You're at or below sea level most of the time, so you're not going to get any carry. They're big ballparks because that's where all the spring training facilities are. And it's just a difficult place to hit for power. So when you look at it in that context, and by the way, if you want to have some real fun, if you compare Nolan Gorman's totals at Palm Beach this year to what Dylan Carlson did at Palm Beach the year before, they're almost identical. They're almost identical in terms of on-base, especially OPS. I think that Gorman was a little bit better. They're both right around 730 in that range. So I'm going to go out on a limb and bet that with Gorman probably moving up to Double-A this year, you'll see that home run total spike. I'd be shocked if he doesn't hit 25-plus home runs this year. Like, his power is legit. I don't know that he profiles as a three- or a four-hole hitter. We'll have to wait and see. But if you had asked a lot of people a year ago, does Dylan Carlson project as a top 20 prospect in baseball? The answer probably would have been no. But he had a huge breakout year, and that kind of changed it. I think you'll see that same kind of thing from Gorman this year.
Now, Kevin, I got to ask you about Nolan Arenado, and some fans still holding out hope that Liberatore and Gorman could lead to a blockbuster trade. Lon laid out your Twitter thread in the last segment. We all got really bummed out.
Thanks, Kevin.
But what would have to happen? I know you mentioned there are factors here, the money, the no trade clauses. What do you think would have to happen for it to work?
I mean, that's a lot, right? I mean, we can start with this very simple thing. Number one, Arenado's got a no trade clause. So number one thing is he has to be willing to come here. We don't have any info that says he will or won't, but you still have to start with that. The second thing you have to get past is the way the two teams view the player and the package coming in return, because this is the Rockies franchise player. He's their most popular player. He's one of the most popular players in franchise history. They're going to want to trade him based on that and on the fact that he's locked up for the next 8 years, but he's got an opt-out in two more years. And the Cardinals are probably going to look at that and say, well, wait a minute. We can't really pay full freight this, because if he walks out, then we're giving up all of these players and taking on this money, but we're only going to get it for 2 years. So you've got to get past that bridge somehow. Then you got to figure out how the Cardinals are going to clear money, because there's no way they're adding $35 million to the $167 that they're already projected to pay this year. I mean, say what you want about the Cardinals, and believe me, I believe they have the money.
Yeah.
But they're not pushing their payroll over $200 million. There's zero chance. I mean, Bill DeWitt Jr. has talked about it this offseason that they don't see it going up much from where it was last year or where it is currently. So that would say, all right, we got to move salaries. Well, the only salaries you'd want to move are Dexter Fowler or Matt Carpenter. Well, they both have no trade clauses. So now we're getting to the point where it's getting ridiculous to even think about it. So
right.
What would need to happen if you're going to say that this Arenado thing is going to be a realistic option? And I don't write anything off, man. You never know. I mean, the Cardinals were willing to make the deal on Giancarlo Stanton, right? I mean, they were willing to make that deal, and that was even more money, and that had an opt-out in it. And obviously the price that they were going to pay, though, wasn't going to be an elite prospect price. You know, it was going to be decent, but it wasn't going to be most likely what the Rockies are going to ask
right.
for. Then throw in that the Rockies probably have multiple suitors, right? I mean, there have to be probably 4, 5, 6 teams that would be interested in Nolan Arenado. So do the Rockies like what the Cardinals have to offer more than what the Dodgers or the Rangers or whomever, the Nationals, whoever loses out on Donaldson. So, well, I guess what I'm saying is that the Rockies' price has to come down. The Cardinals' willingness to expand their payroll significantly has to go way up. And they do have the players that would work for the Rockies.
Sure.
I mean, they've got lots of good young pitching. They've got a catcher in Andrew Kisner they could afford to trade because it sounds like Yachty's going to want to stick around, and they've got a 19-year-old kid named Ivan Herrera who's pretty fantastic. So, you know, they have the ability to make the trade from the player standpoint, but there's just so many things in the way of it making sense. And then, you know, this has been kind of buzzing around, you know, not only my post today, but, you know, people that I know have been saying these things and people that I know have talked about it. If you were interested in a $245 million third baseman, why wouldn't you just bid on Anthony Rendon?
Great point. Great point.
I mean, because then you'd spend the same money, but you wouldn't have to give up 3, 4, 5 prospects to do it, right? And there's no opt-out in Rendon's deal, so you wouldn't have to deal with that. If you were really interested in expanding payroll and getting an impact third baseman right now, why wouldn't you just bid on Josh Donaldson, whose AAV is going to be $10 million a year lower than what Arenado's is? And, yeah, okay, he's older, but you're going to pay for those older years with Arenado anyway, unless he opts out. And if he opts out, you're not going to be happy. So, I don't know, I feel like nothing that they're doing is indicating that they're going to pull a trade like that.
Great points on Rendon and Donaldson. I want to ask you, Kevin, though, am I wrong to assume if they're not going to make the Arenado deal, they're still going to bring in a bat for next year, whether that's Marcell Ozuna, bringing him back to St. Louis, or to go out and make a different kind of move?
I think, I mean, the Ozuna thing sounds like it's reasonably good. I mean, what's the market on Ozuna right now? It's basically the Rangers and the Cardinals.
You're right.
From what everybody's reporting.
Or Reds, or no?
The Reds are out from what I saw.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, once they signed Akiyama, they have Akiyama signed, they've got Senzel, they've got Winker, they've got Aquino. I mean, like, are they really going to go spend the money on Ozuna when they've already got their outfield kind of in place? They have 4 outfielders that, you know, they like a good bit. And I'm not saying that he couldn't be better than, say, Jesse Winker, but go look at Jesse Winker's numbers from last year. He's a pretty good player when he's healthy. He's just had some injury problems. So I'm not ruling them out entirely, but it seems like it's unlikely given what they've done with their roster. So maybe the Cardinals are just waiting this out so that the price is what they want. And now that you've cleared out a couple of bodies, it might even make more sense to bring Ozuna back, because then he plays left field every day, barring injury. If Bader doesn't work out, O'Neill can still slide in there. Lane Thomas can still slide in there. You could still get them at bat in right field too, because you don't have to play Fowler every single day.
Sure.
So, you know, and without Martinez, Jose, you don't have to worry about, like, getting him at bat either, right? So if
sure.
you have a fourth outfielder, that guy could play quite a bit. And, you know, I don't think that that means that they're going to do that. I just think it means that it's opening the door for that to make more sense than it would when you had 6 or 7 guys.
Kevin Wheeler is awesome to visit with. I've got one quick one. I know we've held you on too long here. Carlos Martinez, where do you see his role? Are they going to try to lengthen him back out for a starter? And is that the best option, you think, for the Cardinals? Or since they've got the kid coming over, obviously, the pitcher they signed, his name's not coming to me, but
he likes to be called KK, so you can just call him KK.
Okay, boom. All right, that I can remember. So what do you see with Carlos?
Well, they're trying. I mean, like, the whole point of his offseason is for him to report to spring training ready to prepare as a starter.
Okay.
So from what we've seen from John Mozeliak's comments so far, we haven't heard of any setbacks or anything like that. But then again, last year in the offseason, we didn't hear about any setbacks, and after his first bullpen session, they were shutting him down again.
Right.
So... I don't think that we can confidently go either direction. If he can start, he's a dynamic starter. I mean, you know, before he started having the arm problems, he was kind of finishing in like the top 12 or 13 starting pitchers in the National League. And he did that over a multi-year period.
Right.
So if he's able to start, you could be getting like your strong number 2 to go behind Jack Flaherty. But at this point, it's a coin flip as to whether or not he's that or he's finishing games, because if he's going to have a problem with staying healthy with the extra workload, then, you know, you're probably best off at least making sure you get some productivity out of him rather than on the DL, off the DL, and all that. So I don't have a leaning like where I think it's going to go. I know where they all want it to go. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the organization and the player himself, they all want it to start. But I'd say it's probably just as likely that he ends up in the back end of the bullpen.
Kevin Wheeler, so you're doing still a lot of stuff for MLB?
Yeah, they're keeping me busy. So I'll be just back there. I just did yesterday with Jim Duquette on Power Alley for my friend Mike Farron. And I'll be doing Sunday. Actually, Sunday I'm double dipping, guys. I'm doing the minors and majors show in the morning, and then I'm going to be on Mad Dog in the late morning and afternoon leading into the playoff football game. So, seriously, they're keeping me busy.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm bored a lot of days, so you guys feel free to call, but they're keeping me pretty busy.
I love it. Kevin Wheeler, you are our favorite. There's no doubt about it here, and we always appreciate your time. At Kevin Wheeler 94, that's where you follow him on Twitter. Great thoughts always, at Kevin Wheeler 94. Kevin, thank you so much.
Anytime, man. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, buddy. That is Kevin Wheeler. He is awesome. First guy I thought of when that trade started to go down. I'm Perfect. Like, we got to talk to Kevin. He stays on top of this. Hey, we're late for a break.
Let's
get one now. When we come back, we'll read a couple of the texts that have come in. It is The Drive.
Hey, Cardinals Nation. The Cardinals Caravan presented by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance is coming your way. It's your chance to get up close and personal with your favorite team. Get the latest scoop on the upcoming season from current players, Cardinals alumni, and broadcasters. Plus, there will be raffle prizes and autographs for the kids. Jump on the Cardinals Caravan. The Cardinals Caravan. Rolling into Champaign on Friday, January 17th. For more information, visit cardinals.com/caravan.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
At Everyday Kitchen Restaurant and Bar, we believe that food makes you feel good. Get cozy by the Open Flame Spitfire Grill and enjoy modern comfort food and drink. Dig into fresh takes on home-style favorites, including Spitfire Pot Roast or 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. Or inspire your palate with new favorites like the Philly Cheesesteak Flatbread. The expert mixologists have crafted cocktails ideal for sweater weather, including a chai apple martini or hot butter rum. Book your table at everydaykitchen.com or visit at Neal Street and Fox Drive. Now open for Saturday and Sunday brunch, too.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Big Grove Tavern at 1 East Main Street in downtown Champaign has something for everyone. Serving great steaks, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, along with a first-class wine, cocktail, and beer selection. Weekend brunches roll out a party with a mimosa bar and breakfast classics. Or maybe you need some private space for your next event, lunch, or meeting. Email sales@biggrovetavern.com or call 237-3505 for information on 3 private rooms. Big Grove, big flavor.
Dr. King once stated, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenging controversy." 1 hour a week, that's all it takes to make a difference in the life of a child. Contact Champaign Unit 4 Schools at 351-3800 for more information about how you can become a mentor.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Coming up at 5:05, an exclusive interview with Alan Griffin. Jeremy Werner was able to do that, and he is kind enough to allow us to be the first to hear it. So we will play that at 5:05. Really appreciate Jeremy doing that and sending it to us. Excited to hear about from Alan Griffin, who really has been such a bright spot for this Fighting Illini basketball team, in 2 years, but especially lately. We'll talk more about Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers and Illinois. We'll break that down in the 5 o'clock hour as well. And then we got who you got. Hans is in for that. I know that he's got Illinois winning. We just want to know by how much. That's what we'll do. All right. We want to go to the text line because you guys had texted in quite a bit when we were talking about the Arenado thing. And there was a interesting text that came in. And it was from, where was it?
Cubs text?
No, yeah, maybe, possibly.
Okay.
So here's the text. It says, turning off the radio. So I guess this person's not even listening anymore. So turning off the radio because you guys just keep talking about the Cardinals, who, by the way, just made a trade yesterday, and they are the national news with regards to baseball. But because we're talking about him, he turned the radio off. Correct. Or she. I understand this is a Cardinals network. It is. But you guys take it too far and are completely biased. I've been listening to the show for years, but when it comes to you guys talking about the Cardinals, it makes me so mad. No mention of Baez and Bryant's one-year agreement. Not that it's big news, but it's Illinois sports. We live in Illinois, not Missouri. Okay, you had me for a while on you guys talk a lot of Cardinals. We have talked a lot of Cardinals because they're in the news right now. And we probably tend to talk maybe a scotch more about the Cardinals than the Cubs, but not much. I have talked plenty about the Cubs. Trevor Valise is our Cubs guy. Austin Berkland is our Cubs guy. Jeremy Warner's a White Sox guy. So we certainly, I feel like we hit everything we need to hit with our three local teams. I mean, if you're going to be mad, be a White Sox fan. But, you know, they've stunk so long that even Jeremy understands that. Now, here in the next couple of years, they're going to warrant a lot of talk about the White Sox. But the whole we live in Illinois, not Missouri argument, that is, what do the young kids say? That's weak sauce.
I like that.
I mean,
I like that you said that.
We live in Illinois, so we need to talk about the Cubs and not the Cardinals. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry that we upset you with Cardinals talk. Just bring your take like you did earlier and not mention the fact that we're talking about the Cardinals because we live in Illinois, and because of that, we should talk about the Cubs.
Well, also pick a random day, not when they just traded for a top 50 prospect and they're in the news about maybe getting Nolan Arenado as the best third baseman in baseball.
Yeah.
But to please the texter who may or may not still be listening, Bryant agreed to a one-year $18.6 million deal to avoid arbitration. Javi Baez, one-year $10 million deal to avoid arbitration. Jeff Passan also says the service time dispute between Bryant and the Cubs likely to be resolved in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. In fact, I, 2 days ago, talked all about that, about the Cubs and Chris Bryant, and didn't mention the Cardinals, I don't think. Now, yesterday we mentioned the Cardinals because there was a trade brewing. But I mentioned, so technically, as a Cardinals fan, you should have been upset 2 days ago because all I was talking about was Chris Bryant. So I don't, I'm not going to go any further because I'm being a smart, you know what. But the whole, we live in Illinois, I hear that argument sometimes from people. They're like, you root for the Cardinals. Well, you live in Illinois. I'm like, I don't care.
Actually, I heard that at a bar last weekend.
You did?
Said, anybody that lives here isn't a Cardinals fan is essentially an idiot, to say it nicely. I won't say exactly what he said. And then I got an argument.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I didn't realize because of the state you live in, you have to then focus on just those professional sports. So if you live here, then you are doomed to just become a Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, and either White Sox or Cubs. How do you differentiate there? Technically, I'm closer to the White Sox. I can get to Chicago White Sox Park before I can get to Wrigley. So technically, I should be talking about the White Sox. But I can promise you this, I can get to Busch Stadium quicker than I can get to Wrigley Field, and it's 10 times easier. And I know a ton of Cub fans that I know that when they go to a Cub Cardinal game, they do it at Busch because it's 10 times easier to get down and a lot cheaper. All right, so that's it. We can read more as we go. We got to catch a break to get you to the top. Alan Griffin, when we come back, an interview with him that Jeremy did. I can't wait to hear this. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.